Yes, Vember at the Star Sydney. With so much happening, how could you say no?
And here we go.
Buckle up.
Here we go.
Because the run home just got a little bumpier. Rush, rush, rush.
You cannot be serious.
I've got to see you every friggin' week.
There's got to be an investigation into this.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
Oh, we've loaded up on the friends and family on the show today, MG. Guess coming thick and fast because we've got that much to talk about.
Out of our wazoo, the Ashes squad's being announced. So Brad Haddon will join us to talk about that. We've got Paddy Cummins to bathe in the glory of the World Cup. And then Jeff Fenwick to talk about tonight's blockbuster.
Tim Zhu versus Takeshi Inoue. Producer Charlie and I will be heading out to Kudos Bank Arena as soon as we are done with the show today. All those people coming up. Plus, this is probably what I'm looking forward to most. You have put together a power rankings today, which could upset the highest powers in the game of rugby league.
Again, it's all my opinion. That's only my opinion. I think
it's gospel.
I've nominated the five most influential negotiators in our game.
And we're talking off-field types. We're talking getting it done over Chinese lunches.
No managers were mentioned.
No it's current coaches either.
The power brokers.
This is all the people that really get the pens put to paper.
There we go.
I'm looking forward to that. I've got some names racing through my head, but I've got no order in which we'd put them in. But the Ashes squad has been announced, so let's do this.
What's cracking?
MG, the Ashes side is in. We're just on a cricket high at the moment. We've won the T20 World Cup, and now we get to focus our attention on England for five fantastic test matches that you'll be able to hear right here on Triple M. We'll be covering the Ashes, and this man, an integral part of our Ashes commentary setup, the legendary former test wicketkeeper, New South Wales legend, that is Brad Haddon. G'day, Hads.
Hello, boys.
We are fantastic. Well, the test team is in, Mr. Haddon. Did we get it right, my friend?
Yeah, I think we did. I think with Khawaja coming into that squad at the age of 34, I think he's going to play. My gut feeling, he would be in a battle with Head at number five. But if you're bringing someone in at 34, I think he's going to play in bat number five. We've already sort of had the confirmation that Harris is going to open. So I like the squad. As long as these 2020 boys sober up by the time the Ashes start, I think it's a really good squad.
We're about to talk to Paddy Cummins soon, so we'll see if he has sobered up.
Yeah, actually, that's it. Who would, if you had to have a guess, Hads, who'd be odds on to still be celebrating that World Cup triumph?
Well, I reckon Paddy Cummins will have it. He'll have a croaky voice. He would have tried to stay with Mitch Marsh, Zampa, and Warner, but I don't think he would have been in the league of those three.
All right. Okay, well, Paddy's going to join us shortly. Now, let's talk about Mitch Marsh, because all the heroics from the World Cup, he couldn't be more in favour with the Aussie cricketing public right now. Wasn't enough to get him into this squad. Do you think we all just got a little bit carried away in the hype, or would you have potentially had him in that squad?
Yeah, I think we'll see Mitch Marsh at some stage through the series. I understand why he's not in this side. They've gone with the out-and-out batter at Khawaja, Head at number five. But I think we can see him at some time through the series. I think you could move Green to five and use Mitch Marsh with another bowling option. It's a lot of workload on the three fast bowlers. So I don't think Mitch Marsh is out of the series yet. I like the squad for the first test, but I don't think Mitch Marsh is out of the series.
And with Pattinson announcing his retirement, Jai Richardson, who was the fait accompli to be the backup fast bowler as well, Hads?
Yeah, he's interesting, Jai. He was in outstanding form in 2019. He was one of our better fast bowlers before he dislocated his shoulder in the UAE. And he's probably taken a little bit longer than everyone would have liked, actually, to get back. But now he's back to full fitness. He's a really skillful bowler. Don't be surprised if you see him in the pink ball test match. He's similar bowler to Jimmy Anderson. He's got a good wrist. He swings it. So now that James Pattinson's out, at some stage, I think he'll play a role through the series.
Is it more like that now than years gone by in the, you know, sort of the War Brothers era and even before that with Alan Border and the likes, that it's a squad that's going to have to win this series rather than just the same 11 test match after test match?
Oh, I think in the perfect world, you'd like the same 11. I think any team you played in, you start to build combinations and understand role. But an Ashes is a different event. It's a huge event. These bowlers have come off a big workload in the World Cup, and they've had sort of extended break too. Whether they're up to this sort of cricket for five tests in a row, I'd like to say yes, but you need a big crop of fast bowlers to win these series. So I think we'll see some changes throughout the test with the fast bowlers.
As we look at the old enemy, obviously Stokes is a standout and Joe Root at the top of the order. Anyone do you think might give us a bit of a surprise in their squad that we haven't really spoken about yet?
Oh, I think someone like Josh Butler. He hasn't had the greatest time against us in test match cricket, but he's one of those guys who the top order do their job, and he's able to come in around that second new ball time. He can really move a game. He's a match winner. But I just go back to Ben Stokes. I think he plays more of a role than just a batter and a bowler. He's their spiritual leader. They get a lot of energy off him. They get a lot of their aggression in the field off him as well. So I think he'll bring out the best in some players. You thought, oh, will they be up to it? I think Ben Stokes will have this team up ready to go.
Now, Hads, as I feel like you're going to be the representative for this show on the Triple M commentary lineup this summer for the Ashes. And the first job we have for you is to pull into line Sir Ian Botham.
Because you can't ask him, man.
He's rolled out yesterday and he's trying to claim some sort of ownership over Marnus Labuschagne. He reckons that Marnus and his grandson used to have regular coffees while they were both plying their trade in Wales. He's trying to get in on our patch.
That's not 6 degrees separation. That's 46 degrees of separation, Bothy. Right. Come on, mate.
You know what? Does that surprise you?
No, frankly, it doesn't.
No.
You got Milan at number three for England. I think he was born in South Africa. May they take him for wherever they can. If you walk past an Englishman under Big Ben or something, all of a sudden
if you play Monopoly, you're a Pommy.
My 100%. If you land on Mayfair, they say you can get picked in the first step.
It's like and I quote, talking about Marnus and his grandson, the two of them get on very well, meet up for coffee and a chat. They are both very competitive. That rubs off. He's trying to take credit for Marnus Labuschagne as a cricketer, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Oh, mate, you know what? He's one of the greats there, and both. He's going to be outstanding. His insight into the cricket on the commentary team. But I tell you what, he's definitely that comment's come after one of his great and well-known long lunches, no doubt.
Well, he's got the picture in today's paper of him with a glass of wine in his hand. When's the last time you seen an ex-sportsman or a current sportsman with a glass of wine in their hand posing for a picture? Jeez, he's awesome.
But he is. I tell you what, though, he's one of the guys. He's got a great understanding of the game as well. And even the modern day game, he played it the right way. He was competitive, he was in your face. He hated the Australians, and we hated him just as much. Yeah. But off the field, he was one of those guys you'd have a beer with and you say, oh, well, you got the better of me today. But I think he's got this one wrong, Siri.
Yeah, you are talking. He is one of the all-time great cricketers in the history of the game, and he's going to be a part of Triple M's Ashes lineup for this summer. Alongside this man, Brad Haddon. Hads, we love having you on. Thanks for your insight into the Ashes squad, and we'll speak to you again soon.
Stay safe, boys.
You're listening to The Rush Hour with MG and Liam on Triple M. It's all thanks to The Star, because at the moment, at The Star, it's Yes-vember. Yes-vember, where you do what, MG?
You just don't say no. You say yes to everything. You go and you have a relaxing spa, you have a relaxing feed, you have a relaxing gamble, you have a relaxing stayover. You say yes to everything that The Star has to offer.
That's it. Non-stop entertainment, long lunches, quick catch-ups, whatever you want to say yes to, you can do it at The Star. There is so much happening at The Star. How could you say no? Now, MG, this week we saw the South Sydney Rabbitohs become arguably the most financially stable club in Australia of any code because they got themselves a new part owner.
Not just a part owner. One of the richest men in Australia, if not the world, Mike Cannon-Brookes. Mm. Obviously the big tech company he and his mate own, worth billions. And he's a lifelong Rabbitohs fan, which is great news for the Rabbitohs and in particular Russell Crowe.
Yeah, well, he now owns a quarter of the Bunnies. Russell still owns 25%. James Packer owns 25%. The remaining 25% is owned by members of the club. But it got us thinking and got us talking because we are in free agency frenzy, and I just wonder how much weight and pull this man has in the player market, MG, as a new owner.
Well, there's a lot of players, in inverted commas, who don't coach or that don't play or they're not the football manager of the club, but some of them are.
They're players.
They are, and some of them, look, the most, I would put them down to the most influential negotiators in our game.
Oh.
I've actually come up with a power rankings of them today. Okay, for the second last time, my brother, I'm here on the Rush Hour. Oh, good. So you're well trained. You get it off already. Nice.
Well, if this is the second last time I get to take it off, I've got to take it off.
You've been doing some push-ups, haven't you?
Well, it's been sunny outside.
Yeah, no, I like it. So, good rig. You know. Your rig's looking good. Okay, so the five most influential negotiators in our game. Let's start with...
Five.
Mal Meninga.
Mm.
Not only an immortal, but instrumental in turning the fledgling Titans into a legit title aspirant rugby league team.
Should be high.
The signing of Tino and Dave Fifita and Gordy Tallis as an advisor has been astute for Mal Meninga. So Mal plays a big part in a lot of negotiations in our game.
Sure.
Frank Panisi.
Hmm.
Melbourne are a juggernaut for many reasons, but I think the head of football, Frank Panisi, is top of the heap. He's got a fantastic reputation in our game. He's much adored by the Melbourne Storm faithful, and he's starting to get a good reputation as a great negotiator with those outside of the Melbourne Storm's facility. So Frank Panisi's got to be on this list.
And the more success they enjoy without Cooper Cronk, Billy Slater and Cam Smith, I think the more credit that starts to go to the Frank Panisi's of the Melbourne Storm. So
I agree.
Like it.
Three.
That man we just spoke about, Russell Crowe, what a passionate South owner he is. He attracts aura. He attracts the big end of town. He's just a fantastic story in the rugby league annals of especially South Sydney. And the fact that he's got Mike Cannon-Brookes on board, they are probably one of the most stable clubs in all of the land as we speak. So well done to Russell Crowe, who is a fantastic negotiator.
No one has done more to try and grow that game the game of rugby league internationally than Russell Crowe. No,
I agree. Yep. I think he's a fantastic ambassador for our game.
And you've got him at number three. So I cannot wait to see the top two people on this list.
Two.
Phil Gus Gould. One of, if not the best footy brains in footy. Quite simply, he has success wherever he goes because people love to be around him as far as footy goes. He's got James Packer, who he counts as one of his best mates. He can dial anybody and have them on the phone within 10 seconds and has a lot of pull, has so much pull in our game. And I think that as far as negotiations go, Phil Gould is almost on the top of the tree.
And what I will say, one of the great Twitter follows as well. If you're on Twitter,
yeah,
and I can understand why some people aren't, but if you are on Twitter, you need to be following Gus Gould. He will tweet about anything.
He activates, then deactivates, and activates, and deactivates, and
talks about food, talks about TV shows, talks about anything.
It's fantastic. Yeah. It's great to see an insight into the other side of Gussie Gould.
All right, these are MG's five most influential identities in rugby league. Mal Meninga, Frank Panisi, Russell Crowe. Number two was Gus Gould.
One.
Rugby league only has one godfather, and that's Nick Politis. The godfather of rugby league who inevitably gets his man and then keeps him. If we go back to 1996, Brad Fittler was the first of many, Ricketson, and then recently the Cordoners, the Friends, the B-Mozzers of the world, they just want to hang around after they've stopped playing. They love the man, and he's such a passionate rugby league man. He's such a passionate rugby league man. He's been the major sponsor of the Roosters for years and years and years, and he's put so much money back into the game. But he loves it. He loves it. He was an owner when owners were thought they were just been throwing money away. But he stuck with it, and now he sees his fruits of his labour being bared because rugby league is now on top of the heap as far as third-party agreements go and sponsorship go, and it's all thanks to one bloke called Nick Politis.
Joey Manu's decision to stay at the club this year and forego the Warriors has got the fingerprints of Trent Robertson, obviously, but also Nick Politis all over it, MG.
Couldn't agree more, buddy. Couldn't agree more.
That is a very, very strong list. Jeez, there's some heavy hitters in the game of rugby league.
Imagine them five in a... at a bar together or at a restaurant together, what would be going on? Just imagine.
Here's my question for you. If you were a young player and you walked into a restaurant and you see those five people spread about the bar, who do you walk over to?
I suppose if I'm a player, Russell Crowe, because I'm a bit of a fanboy, you'd say. But then you'd go, Mal Meninga, because he's one of my favourite players to watch.
And then someone goes, that's Nick Politis, don't you? You go, where?
Shit. I thought it was Robert De Niro. Or Al Pacino, one of them.
Shop the latest barbecue range now at Harvey Norman. But right now, it's Triple M's Beat the Pom, isn't it? Triple M's Beat the Pom.
Beat the Pom. It starts next week. Real simple. If you know your cricket and you can beat our resident Englishman, Barmy Matt, as far as cricket trivia goes, you can win yourself a Massport 4-burner barbecue thanks to Harvey Norman. We've got five of them to give away next week, MG.
Yep, it's our parting gift as we sail into the sunset as the rush hour for season 2021. Yes. And we love nothing more than anything on this show and to give stuff away. And that's fantastic. Thank you, Harvey Norman, for your continued support of us.
Well, and congratulations to Harvey Norman on getting to be a part of the final giveaway on the show. They've been a fantastic supporter of the show. But next week, if you haven't already done so, go to the Triple M Win page. That's all you have to do. Go there, register, And then you could be walking away with one of these fantastic barbecues courtesy of our mates at Harvey Norman. You can shop the latest barbecue range now at Harvey Norman. MG, I'm disappointed to say that the terms and conditions do forbid me from winning this one as well.
Well, you know, well, at least you tried.
Yeah, I did.
At least you tried.
Yeah, well, you might see a relation of mine calling up and trying to win the barbecues next week as well.
Yeah, so if Steve Flanagan comes on to the radar sales, just flick that name because it's his dad.
MG, Australian cricket and Australian cricket fans, we're just coming down from the excitement of that T20 World Cup final. The hangover is set in for me.
I think it's because it was totally unexpected. You know, the way the boys went into that World Cup was kind of, you know, a bit of underwhelming. Mm. And the way they won it, well, that's the true Aussie spirit that we've come to know and love.
Yeah, well, there's not much time for them to celebrate because now most of them have got to prepare themselves for a 5-test series called the Ashes coming up against England this summer. Kicks off at the Gabba in a couple of weeks' time. A man who will play a very big part with ball in hand in that series is the Australian vice-captain, Paddy Cummins, who joins us on the line. G'day, Pat.
G'day, boys. How you doing?
Oh, Paddy, before we get into the cricket chat, how good were them Panthers, baby, in the grand final, my man?
I was going to say, when you say you're just coming down after a big final win, I thought you were talking about the Panthers.
Yeah, well,
Well,
this Saturday, there's a big street parade from Evans Street to the club, to the ground, so all Penrith fans get there and watch them. But, Paddy, back to your boys, mate. Fantastic result. As I just said, it was kind of unexpected because of the way the lead-up was a bit underwhelming, but, gee, you showed some tenacity to win that World Cup final and the games leading up to that as well.
Yeah, cheers. Yeah, it's I think the lead-in, yeah, the last 12 months probably didn't win as many games as we would have liked, but once we got the squad together over there, we all felt really confident and then, yeah, clicked at the right time. The back end of the tournament was fantastic. Had a lot of guys that stood up and, just amazing to – that's our first, T20 World Cup for the men's team and – everyone's just pumped. Everyone's still on high. So it's been a great week or so.
Pat, I have to ask about the plane ride because was it true that you were sharing the plane ride back to Australia with some of the English Ashes team?
It was, and we were bloody excited to get on there and play that Adelaide.
Who was up? So now I assume you boys in first class, you wandered down to see the Poms in economy. Is that how it worked out?
Well, unfortunately, that's the vision I thought when we were going to walk onto the plane. But no, they had a curtain firmly shut between us because we're all in different bubbles and we've got to be separated. So, I was pretty keen to go and say g'day to some of my Pommy mates. But not to be.
Curtains can't shut out noise, though, MG, can they?
No, of course not. That's a few.
I have to send a few champagnes up front.
Well, on that note, who was the in the top? Who was on the podium as far as celebrating goes for you boys?
Yeah, I think I'd probably give 3 votes to Adam Zampa. is fantastic. He controlled the boombox for the night. He led the team song. Awesome. Very funny. Mitch Marsh probably closely followed.
Yeah.
Good mover for a big man. He can drag a few along behind him as well. So, the boys are on fire.
I feel like Matty Wade and Marcus Stoinis as well, the blokes not being involved with the Ashes series might have given it a nudge too.
Yeah, Stoiny, I reckon I think he was out there hugging Marshy before the ball hit the rope. And I reckon about 30 seconds later his shirt was off and didn't come off for the next 2 days either.
Wow.
Well, mate, when you've got a rig like that, like mine, you keep your shirt off.
Paddy's
a very modest boy. He's a very modest boy. Paddy, look, coming into the Big Ashes series, this is what every young cricketer covets. You play against the old enemy in a Ashes series on home deck. Is there any worry at all that the pace attacks might have enough legs miles in their legs after, you know, mainly playing 4 overs for the last few months?
Yeah, I think that's kind of what our focus will be for the next few weeks. We've got a bit of time. We're in quarantine, but we're still allowed out to train each day. So we'll get some good overs into us, get the red ball back, get used to that. But yeah, I always kind of feel like it's a bit nicer to be underdone and have fresher legs and coming in with too much cricket. So feeling in a really good place. We'll have a few good bowls and be ready for day one.
Nice.
You're the vice captain of the squad officially, the team name today. The big talking points, I guess, is that Khwaja is into that squad again. He and Travis Head look like they're going to set to fight it out for that number five spot. And then Jai Richardson looks like he gets another opportunity as that backup bowler with James Pattinson's retirement.
Yeah, great to see Jai back. He, you know, was right in the mix a couple of years ago for an Ashes and a one-day World Cup, and then popped his shoulder out. So it's good to get him. Good to see him back. He bowled beautifully in a Sheffield Shield match here last week, up in Brisbane. And then Uzi, you know, knocked the door down. He scored plenty of runs and had a good series a couple of years ago. And Trav Head's been churning him out as well. So really strong squads. I think you can pick 11 out of anyone in the 15. You know they're gonna be good to go.
Obviously, the first announcement of the English team was kind of a little bit underwhelming, everyone thought, but I know you guys don't underestimate the odd enemy, just especially on one player coming and joining their squad like he did. They're going to be tough, aren't they? You know they're going to be tough. And who do you think will be their danger men? Is it the older boys in the bowling attack, you know, Broad and Anderson? Are they going to be dangerous? And who's the young guy we've got to keep an eye on in the English touring team?
Yeah, it's interesting. I've played quite a few of them a lot, and then probably half of them haven't played them at all, so it's going to be interesting. I think their captain Jai Root's coming in with a lot of form. Ashes series are always quite attritional. It's normally goes for 5 days, so I think a batter like him's probably going to be the prize wicket. And in terms of the bowlers, they've always got plenty of experience. Even I think Ollie Robinson did quite well for him in their home summer, so he might be a new one to look out for as well. But we're really confident. We love playing tests back home in Australia and can't wait.
I read between the lines there, MG, and I hear a very, very confident Australian vice captain speaking about their chances as we head into this series.
I think they should be.
Absolutely, they should be.
And you know how small a place Paddy is. On another note, I know Penrith is a small country town, basically. You're big in, I know you've got a big interest in sustainability and giving back to the community, which you're very focused on. Birdie might tell me there's something happening at maybe Howl Oval that you've got something to do with. You don't have to elaborate, but just say yes or no.
I don't know how you've heard that, but yep.
I'm the mayor of Penrith, brother. How would I hear it?
MG has to sign off on everything that happens.
Very good. Still my home club, Howl Oval. Haven't played, been able to play a great game for the last couple of years, but still my home club. So, keen to help out where I can.
All right. You're keep an eye out there for the locals in the area. Keep an eye out something happening in the area. Hey, now, Paddy, let me put a hypothetical to you. And it's just you, me, and MG talking here, right? It's just the three of us.
Always.
Look, we're 4-0 up in the series. Hypothetically speaking, we're 4-0 up. We don't know where the fifth test match is being played, whether it's Perth, Tassie, wherever. The series is done. Tim Payne's just out in the nets warming up. Maybe you just trip him over. Maybe you just, there's an opportunity, maybe, that you might be able to captain the Aussie team at some point in this series. Is this something that we might could make happen, possibly?
I hope not.
Paddy.
Like Payne, so I hope not.
Okay.
I hope not. He hasn't played for a little while, but I've told he's going strong. He's been catching plenty of balls and hitting plenty in the net, so he'll be right to go for the summer.
But in all seriousness, the whole conversation that is going around on the periphery in the media about the next Australian captain once Tim Payne's time is up and whether you can do the role as a fast bowler, do you think about it? Have you weighed in on it, or are you just happy to cruise along as a deputy for now?
Certainly happy to cruise along as a deputy. It's not really my decision to make, but I think, the being vice captain for the last, I think, 2 or 3 years, it's, of course, you've got to think about a little bit and how you'd manage it if I had to do even just a one-off test. And I think you'd be able to find a way, even as a fast bowler. I think it would have some challenges, but also some opportunities, as a fast bowler, that we might see the game a little bit differently to this perhaps batters. But I've said a lot that we've got plenty of experienced guys in our team. It'd be a pretty easy side to manage. You'd kind of let most of them just do their own devices. And if you need help, there's plenty of people to ask for.
Paddy, finally, it'd be probably remiss of us not to ask about the coach, Justin Lingo, and how the pressure valve just was released big time for him. How did JL celebrate after the World Cup victory, mate?
Not as hard as Zamson's the story. But no, he was good, mate. We had some good chats before, the World Cup. As much as anything, talking about, I guess, everyone's experience playing franchise cricket and having a really relaxed environment where you kind of just let the boys go and express themselves. And you really need that in T20 cricket, especially where there's just no fear. You can walk out and try and hit the first ball, for six, and there's no repercussions. And he was great. He really bought into that environment. And I think that had a huge factor in us winning. The boys kind of, we're let free and we're great.
But Paddy, before we let you go, so you're in quarantine at the moment. Have you got it? When do you get to see your new young son, Albie, again? He's only, a month old at the moment. When do you get to hold him again?
Yesterday got to see him. Family's up here, quarantining with me, which is great.
Terrific.
So I flew out when he was, I think, day three or day four old. To see him again. He's a bit bigger and stronger.
Yeah, and he couldn't give a stuff that Dad's just won the T20 World Cup. He just wants his nappy changed.
Hey, give him 4 or 5 years. He will. Give him. He'll take that. He'll take the medal to news at Mary McKill at primary school.
That's it. That sounds good. Yeah, show and tell.
Pat, congratulations on the T20 World Cup and best of luck for the Ashes series ahead. We can't wait to see you out there.
Beauty. Thanks, lads. Chat soon.
Well, this is it, MG. Producer Charlie and I are getting dressed to the nines because we are set to head out to Kudos Bank Arena for this fight tonight, Tim Zhu versus Takeshi Inoue.
You're making me jealous. You know that.
I can't believe you passed. I can't believe you.
Well, mate, now I'm like a big deal on Breakfast Radio. I've got to get my sleep.
Well, look, Charlie and I are going to roll out there tonight as blokes that have no idea really what's going on. So we want some expert knowledge. We want some insight. And when you want to talk Aussie boxing, there really is only one man we turn to on this show, the Marrickville Mauler himself, Jeff Fenwick. G'day, Jeff.
Hey, guys.
You have been a busy man, Mr. Fenwick. First of all, before we get on to tonight's fights, let's talk about Brocky Jarvis's foray into the American market. Oh. Wow. Didn't it have everything that first fight, Jeffrey?
Yeah, well, look, it was pretty crazy, MG, because when we were there, we're sparring, we're boxing all these guys who are, all these tutors that be the next champions, and Brocky was just walking through them. I think he got a little overconfident, but he got into that fight in the second round. He got hit with a punch that he didn't see coming, and then he got hit with a few more, and then he got hit with a few more. But, mate, the greatest thing was, MJ, like a lot of people are here in Australia, those death riders that are hopefully wishing that he got knocked out. Mate, just imagine him. Well, you, MJ, you've played in games. Imagine when you've been beat up for 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes, then you've got to sit down and your trainers will say, listen, you're going to go back out there and turn this around. And he done it, MG. He done it, mate. It was a huge test for him,
You could visibly see him bite down on his mouth guard and said, well, this is make or break. I'm better than this. I know I'm better than this. I know. And he just saw it, Jeffrey.
Yeah, what you're saying is exactly what I said to him. Listen, I said, mate, we've done this before. And he did. He bit down his mouth guard. He went, and he made you snore. And he got back up there and he went out and changed around. And to do that, like I said, MG, to do that after he took a flogging for 2 minutes of a whole round. And it was pretty amazing. So it was like, if that was for a world title and he'd done that, it would be amazing. But like I said, he showed enormous, they're not courage, but he just showed that he'd worked really hard. He showed his fitness because round three he took over, round four he took over, and round five the referee stopped it, but he stopped it at the right time. The guy didn't need to be hit anymore. And like the great thing is, MG, at the moment, we're trying to organise a rematch. So the guy, if he wants to complain, we'll show him in a rematch,
I was going to ask Jeff, what is Brock's next fight? Is it a rematch, or has he got another opponent on the cards?
Well, mate, if these guys are going to scream and jump up and down and say that it was stopped too early, we'll give them the opportunity to do it again. So we're more than happy to do that.
I think he might regret that if he takes that rematch.
Yes, so do I.
No, we can't wait. Jeffrey, we can't wait to follow his career because I think we saw something special that I don't think we've seen from Brock before, and that's the intestinal fortitude he showed in that fight, and that's going to make him a box office attraction, big time. Speaking of box office attractions, tonight is big because they're saying that this is the biggest test that young Timmy Zhu will face in his short but illustrious career. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, Andrew, I really do. I think in the first three or four rounds, he's going to be put right to the sword. And the thing that I think that is because he's going to be able to hit this other guy so many times because he's right there, this guy will fade and maybe sixth or seventh round, I think that we'll see Tim stop him. But this guy's very, very dangerous early. And if he hits Tim, anything can happen. So you got Tim's got to be right on his game. But I really do believe that he is. I think he's just getting better and better. And I think it's going to be a great fight.
Well, and so that is because for the boxing novices out there, what we've been reading about this bloke is that Takeshi Inoue is a come-forward fighter and he'll stand there. So is this, are we going to see probably Tim's most defensive fight or evasive fight as far as staying out of this bloke's way?
Well, I don't think Tim doesn't do that, but Tim has got a great eye, so Tim will see those punches coming, hopefully make the miss, and if any of them land, he will ride them, which means he's taking a huge percentage of the power away from those punches. And then the thing that the Japanese fighters got to worry about is, like, Tim throws more punches than anybody in his weight division. So that's what I think will happen. Tim will hit him with some big, big punches, slow him down. And maybe the fifth, sixth, seventh round, I think we'll see a stoppage, you know?
I see this. Look, it's been an intriguing build-up to the fight, Jeff, because not the fact that, in a way, come looking like Jean-Claude Van Damme, but the fact that Zarafa's come out and said that he bashed him up in sparring 3 or 4 years ago, and then in a way he's fired back saying, well, I'll show you the actual footage of me giving it back to you. So this is intriguing. It's kind of one of them things where we don't know what's going to happen because it's all the narrative's changing day by day.
Yeah, you know, MG, the thing is, anything can happen. And this guy, let me tell you about this guy. This, in a way, like I said, he's going to come and he's going to throw leather with as much weight behind it as he can. But like I said, I just don't look. And if something lands and Tim doesn't see it coming, anything can happen. But I just think that Tim's so well prepared. He's got such a great eye. I just think that he's gonna be answer for all of it.
Now, Jeff, will you be at the fight tonight?
Doing the commentary for Fox.
Well, this is good to know because obviously producer Charlie and I will be out there tonight. How do we get ringside? I don't know where we're sitting. I don't think producer Charlie's forked over a heap of cash for these seats. How do I get ringside?
I'll tell you what you do, guys. You go and put a pair of gloves and a mouth guard on each.
No. I think I'll stick with the cheap seats. No need to get that close.
Bravo. Yes. Bravo. Bravo.
The Marrickville Mauler, Jeff Fenwick. He'll be part of the commentary tonight for this fight out at Kudos Bank Arena. Zoo v. Inoue. Jeff, thank you for your time. Enjoy the fight tonight.
Pleasure, guys.
Absolute privilege to be able to speak to that man about boxing on any occasion. MG, we are done for today. Tomorrow, surely, Reedy joins us with some big news from the NRL's free agency frenzy. He's going to be on tomorrow. We got to get out of here.
Yep, cannot wait. As per usual, thank you, my beautiful people, for your ears. He's Liam. I'm MG. Wherever you are, stay random.
Yes, Femba, at the Star Sydney. With so much happening, how could you say no?